Thank you for getting to be here today. Today being the 8th of February, 2026, we're going to look at this lesson, lesson number 7. It's entitled Rivers of Living Water. And we started it last week. I didn't get finished with it. So it's a good lesson. And I just want you to think about it, about the joy of the Lord in your heart and your soul. And, you know, Lucy was talking about it this morning. You know, trusting Christ as your Savior. You got all these things. The devil will throw up in your mind to give you excuses, excuses, excuses. And even after you get saved, I remember when I got saved, I was 15 and a half. And I said, now I'm going to keep this quiet because I've already told everybody I was saved, so I won't really be lying now. But man, the more I thought about it, the more I got in the Word of God, the more I was around my friends, the more I had to go and tell somebody what Jesus had done for me. And last week, we looked at the beginning of the lesson here. We looked at this discourse at the feast. And this was at the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus met with the people there. We looked at that. We looked at the advice that his earthly brothers gave him, all right, his half-brothers. These were the sons of Mary and Joseph, all right, that were born after Jesus was born. We saw how Jesus answered them and all that. And then we got down to this part today. I want to look at it in John chapter 7 here with you. John chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 14 down through 52 today. And I want you to see this discourse that Jesus gave and how he spoke to them. He gave instruction here in these first verses, verses 14 through 24. And I want to read this to you. John chapter 7. Let me find my right place here. All right. And I'm going to begin here in verse number 14. And the Bible said here, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? What was Jesus doing? He said, you're a bunch of hypocrites. You know, you say you keep the law, but you don't keep the law. Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Man, he just let him have it. Now remember, he had healed this man on the Sabbath day. He told him to take up his bed and walk. Go home, take your bed home. You've been made whole. And when the Jews saw that, they were angry because this man was carrying his bed on the Sabbath day. They didn't care that he had been healed. He had been there for 38 years. He had been there for all this time. And no man cared for that man's soul. Never cared for him. And so since we know that this feast lasted for seven days, Jesus arrives sometime in the morning on the fourth day of the feast. And we see it here in verse number 14. And what Jesus specifically taught the people, we don't know. I don't know what he was teaching at that time in the temple. But it certainly made an impression on those folks that heard him. And they listened to him here in verse number 15. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? In other words, they were upset because he was teaching such great things from the Word of God, and he had not attended their Bible school, okay? Their school of learning. And they were upset. And they said, well, how does this man know so much? We've not taught him. Where did he learn these things? Who's teaching him these things? Well, you know what? He is the living word. Amen. He already knew it. And he was sent from his Father, which he explains here that God knew it. So in verses 16 through 18, Jesus answered the Jews and he told the crowds that his teaching was of God. It wasn't of man. It was of God. And you know what? You can always hear when people know the Word of God. You can tell the difference in somebody that's got it here and somebody that's got it here. Amen? But when somebody knows the Word of God from a personal relationship, from time being spent in the Word of God, man, you can tell the difference. You know the difference with that. Many people today, man, they get all impressed because people got head knowledge, and they got no heart knowledge, no desire to fulfill what the Word of God says. And you know what? That's what we've got to be careful of. You can have a head full of knowledge and an empty heart if you're not careful. And that's what was happening here with these religious crowd folks, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes. Oh, they had all kinds of knowledge up here, but they had nothing here. They had no compassion for anybody. And but all they wanted to do was just condemn. So in verse 19, Jesus asked, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? And there he's pointing out that there was indeed a difference between receiving the law and actually obeying the law. They knew what the law said, but they didn't do what the law said. Amen? And that's a sad thing. When you know to do right. As a matter of fact, I believe the book of James talks about that. You remember that? Turn with me over to the book of James, chapter number 4, just a moment. I believe it's in the book of James, chapter 4. This verse just came to my mind. Yeah. Verse number 17. Look at James chapter 4, verse 17. James said there, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? It is sin. And that's exactly what these folks are talking about. Listen, go back there just a few more verses in verse number 10. If I remember correctly, yeah. Verse number 10. James said this. In James chapter 2, verse 10. James chapter 2, verse 10. I want you to look at this. This was something that Jesus was trying to help them to see too. These Jewish leaders, he said here, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, and that's what they proclaimed to do, and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. So while they tried to proclaim their own goodness, their works and their actions proclaimed their sinfulness. Do you see that today? And folks, this is something that we have to understand too. Listen, I may not have been the same type of sinner that some of you were. You may not have sinned as bad as I did. You may not have done as mean things as I did. All right? I may have been nicer than some of the rest of you, though. I don't know. Who knows? But the fact is, I was a sinner. And whether I was guilty of one sin or if I was guilty of 500 sins, what's the difference? I'm still a sinner. And this is what Jesus wanted these folks to see. It's not the amount of sin that God's looking for. He wants you to understand the fact that we're simply all sinners. So we may not have all sinned alike, but we are all like sinners. Does that make sense to you today? We need to understand that. In John chapter 7, verse 20, going back to the book of John, the Bible said that the people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Now, it may be that the people in Galilee didn't know that the Jews had threatened to kill Jesus. Maybe they didn't know about that. But I think Jesus was speaking here to those Jews that were at the feast, and they knew what they had planned to do. They knew. These Jews coming to the Feast of Tabernacles, some of them may not have been aware of what the Jewish leaders felt like they wanted to do with Jesus, because Jesus offended them. That's one of the great things we're seeing in our land today, is it not? Everybody's offended. Everybody gets offended with truth. And boy, if you tell the truth, boy, the words fly. The venom splatters everywhere. And I mean, the first thing they want to do is to hurt you or to kill you, because they despise truth. But you know what? Jesus is truth. Amen. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And buddy, these folks wanted to make it sound like they were performing righteous deeds, and their righteous deeds were going to get them to heaven. And yet they wanted to criticize Jesus for healing a man on the Sabbath day. On the Sabbath day. Jesus had healed this man, but the Jews had also been circumcising on the Sabbath day. Now, according to the law, they weren't supposed to do that, were they? But you know what? They broke the laws. And Jesus made it known to them. Look at verses 21 through 24 again. Jesus answered and said unto them, I've done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not because it's of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. And if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So Jesus taught them here. He taught the people that the same law that permitted circumcision being performed on the Sabbath day to make a man ceremonially clean, it permitted Jesus to heal a man on the Sabbath day to make him physically clean, physically whole. And boy, they got upset with that. They got mad because Jesus called them on the carpet, so to speak, all right? Now, I want you to look here in verses 25 through 36, and I want you to see their response. The Bible said, beginning in verse number 25, then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Now, Jesus had justified his healing this man on the Sabbath day, okay? But the Jews still wanted to kill him. But they didn't do anything. Why? Because of the people. They were people pleasers. They were people pleasers. How many of you have learned through the years that you can't please all the people all the time? Amen. These Jews wanted the people not to be upset with them, so they didn't say anything right there in front of them. The people are, some of these folks are saying, this is the Christ. This is the promised Messiah. This is the one. Others are saying, we know who he is. He's the son of Mary and Joseph. He's the carpenter's son. Others are just standing there wondering. They're trying to figure it out. They don't know. The crowd's confused. And then we see in verse 26. Howbeit this man, whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Now look at verses 28 and 29. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. For I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Now again, here in these verses, Jesus equates himself with God. And in verse 28, he says the reason they won't believe him is because they do not know him. They do not know him. You know what? To know Jesus is to know God. And if you know God, you got to know Jesus. Amen? You got to know Jesus. In verses 30 and 31, the Bible said, then they sought to take him, But no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these that this man hath done? So in verse number 30, the Jews continue to try to arrest and kill Jesus. While in verse 31, many of the other Jews believe on Jesus simply because of the miracles that they had seen him perform. They said, man, could the Messiah come? Could the Christ come and do more miracles than what this man has done? This must be the one. Now look at verse 32. The Bible said here, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Now they sent officers, the temple guards, all these other officers to come and get Jesus and take him away. And when these religious leaders heard that the Jews were believing on Jesus, they weren't happy. Man, they were mad. They were all upset. Why? Because the people were beginning to believe the words of Christ. Now, can you imagine people getting mad about that? Listen, is it all right, guys, Angel, Isaac, Junior, can I tell folks about Tuesday night? Would that be all right? All right. These guys back here Tuesday night, we went over to follow up on them. We thanked them for coming the other week, and then they had some questions and things, you know, about salvation. So Brother Dave and I went by on Tuesday night to see them again and encourage them in the Word of God. And all three of those boys back there trusted Jesus as their Savior. Isn't that great? And man, you know what? Everybody was happy about that. Amen. Man, nobody got mad about that. Man, everybody was excited. Junior, you took your little wordless book to school, right? Yeah, he took his little wordless book to school. And you know why? Because he wanted some of his friends to find out about Jesus like he had done. He took that little wordless book to school with him. Made sure his mama said, hey, is it in my backpack? And she said, oh, yeah, it's there. Okay. And you know what? They were excited about it. Man, if folks get saved, folks around here get excited about things like that. But man, these folks didn't get excited. They got mad. And that identified which side they were on. They were not on God's side, were they? Oh, they were religious garb, dressed, and all this other stuff. But they were not portraying Christ. They were not portraying God. They were portraying their father, the devil. And so when these folks got upset, man, it showed everybody who they really were. So in verses 33 and 34, we read these words. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me. And whither I am, thither ye cannot come. Now here Jesus is talking about what? His coming crucifixion, is he not? He's talking about his coming death, his burial, and his resurrection, and his ascension back to the Father in heaven. And that's where he's going to go. But the Bible said in verse 35 and 36, then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go that we cannot find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? And I can hear him just laughing. He's going to go to those old Gentile dogs and teach them. Oh, that's what he's going to do. And then look what they said. What manner of saying is this that he said? Ye shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. You know what the problem was? They didn't understand what it meant to know God. They didn't understand. They didn't understand about the death, the burial, the resurrection that was proclaimed in the Old Testament scriptures. They didn't understand that he was going to ascend back unto his Father. They just could not understand. You know why? Let me remind you why. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Why does the world today not understand your joy of your salvation? Why does the crowd at work and the folks you hang out with and some of these people that you go around, Why did they look at you and say, you're going to go to church on Sunday? Aren't you going to stay home and watch the Super Bowl tonight and watch this baby boy or whatever his name is? What? Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny. Good night. Bad Bunny. Bad boy, whatever he is. I don't know. I'm not watching it, amen. Somebody asked me about it, and I said, man, no, I'm going to church. You're going to church? It's Super Bowl night. I'll come home and have a bowl of chicken stew, and that'll be a Super Bowl for me, amen. Man, my wife fixed chicken stew last night. I came in, and I was freezing outside. And she had that stuff good and hot. Butter was just floating on the top of it. Had red pepper flakes in there. I put some salt in it and some pepper in that thing. And ate me a great big old Jethro Bodine-sized bowl of that. Man, had some crackers with it. Man, it was good. That beats the Super Bowl and all this foolishness that they got. Man, I wouldn't want to watch that stuff. I'm not watching no Bad Boy or Bad Bunny or whoever he is. I like Bugs Bunny, but I don't like Bad Bunny, all right? Pastor talked about that last week. Listen, they don't receive the things of God. Why? Because the natural man, the lost man, doesn't understand that. The Spirit of God is not dwelling in them. Listen to this, though. He said, for they are spiritually discerned. Why do they not understand? Because they can't know those things. Because those things are spiritually discerned. You know what? After I got saved, I was listening to the radio. And I used to listen to a man, Oliver B. Green. Now, my wife, there was a pastor that died down in North Carolina, and his family was getting rid of all of his books. And he had a whole collection of all the Oliver B. Green books. And they were selling all that stuff at a yard sale. And my wife, I wasn't even married yet, okay? We were just dating. She was my fiance at that time. And she said, you know what? He's answered the call to preach. He needs some good books. And she bought that whole collection for me at a yard sale for $25. For $25. I still use them today. I love it. Before I got saved, I despised to hear that man preach. I thought, he's just a loud-mouthed man that wants to yell and scream and tell everybody they're going to hell and all that stuff. And I didn't want to listen to that. But when I got saved and I began to read the Word of God, and I heard him one day preaching on something that I had just read in my Bible. And I knew what that Bible said, and I thought, well, I wonder if I'm right about that or not. And so that day I was working in the little engraving shop where I was working at, listening to Oliver B. Green preaching. And he preached on the very subject that I had read about in the Bible. He said the same thing. He came to the same conclusion that I had come to reading that passage of Scripture. And I said, well, guess what? He's right after all. Amen. He's saying the same thing that I'm being told by the Spirit of God. Why? Because God is not going to teach one person one thing and one person something else. The Spirit of God is going to give wisdom, discernment, and He's going to help you to understand this book so that we're all on the same page together with it. Amen? And that's why you can spot those that are not teaching truth, because the Spirit of God is the one that reveals those things. When you get in the Word of God and let the Word of God get in you, the Spirit of God will take that and He will help you to understand those things. And then you know what Jesus did? He gave an invitation to the people. In verses 37 through 39, He gave an invitation. Now, there are a lot of churches today that have stopped giving invitations. They don't give an invitation anymore. And I asked one preacher one day, I said, why do y'all not do an invitation? You don't do that anymore? He said, well, if they really want to know anything, they'll come see us. They'll come see somebody. They'll ask. And I'm thinking, well, that's not what Jesus did. He invited them to come then. You know, why do you cast out the bait of the Word of God and allow it to be given to folks, and then you don't want to draw the net? Man, Thursday, when we had the funeral for Nikki Wardenfelt over here at Fletcher's. Nikki was in our Good Shepherds group. And the message I preach, and I've never preached this message before, never. Every service I try to make special for that person that passed away. I want God to give me something that's going to help that family, that group of people. And so this particular message, I'd never preached it in this manner before, but I used my wordless book. And I gave the message of the wordless book. Because that was one of the things that Nikki really liked. He liked that story, the wordless book. He loved the song. The group from Good Shepherds sang the song. My heart was dark with sin until the Savior came in. His precious blood, I know, has washed me white as snow. And in God's word, I'm told, I'll walk the streets of gold. To grow in Christ each day, I read my Bible and pray. That's the wordless book song. They sang that. I preached that message, and five folks raised their hand and trusted Christ. Why? Because an invitation was given, and they accepted Christ's gift. Now, what did Jesus do here in these verses? Verses 37, 38, and 39. He gave an invitation. Preacher, why do you give an invitation at your church? Because Jesus gave an invitation. We want folks to be saved. We don't know if we're going to live from one day to the next. And today is the day of salvation. Today is the accepted time. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. I want you to think about this a minute. On this last day of the feast, there was a symbolic ceremony that was given where the people brought out their branches, their palm branches, and all the tree branches and stuff like that. And they fixed up these little booths and things, like what they did in Moses' day, when Moses brought them out of Egypt, the bondage there, and God brought them out. And when they reached the temple, the priest would pour water out on the altar, okay? And it not only displayed a desire for the rain from among the people, but it also was commemorating the water that God sent out of the rock. You remember Moses struck the rock, and the rock split, and the water flowed out for this 1 to 2 possibly 2.5 million people, their cattle, for everything. God gave water to quench their thirsting tongues in the midst of a hot, burning desert. God did that for them. They put water out there like that as a symbol of all those things. And as Jesus used that illustration of eating the Passover lamb, okay, there in chapter 6, he now used the illustration of this flowing water as what the Spirit of God would do for a person when Jesus died, was buried, arose again, went back to heaven, and the Spirit of God came to dwell in every believer. The Spirit of God was going to overflow their hearts with rivers of living water, rivers of joy, rivers of excitement about what Christ had done for them. And Jesus gives them this illustration. And he tells them how that they'd have all their spiritual hunger and their thirst quenched through the great power of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in them. You know what? I used to thirst for the things of the world. I don't thirst for that anymore. Man, I got something that satisfies now. Amen? Amen. It's the Word of God. It satisfies. And here in John chapter 7, verses 37, 38, in that last day, he said, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst. Did you notice that? The invitation is given to any and all. to the whosoevers of the world. Amen. Guess what? I'm a whosoever. Amen. Did you know that you are a whosoever today? Man, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And man, this overflowing joy comes from the joy of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within one soul. Amen. I've told you that story. I told you about how that after I got saved, I didn't realize what Christ had done until after I took that bath that night. Watched that dirty ring of water go down the drain. And it was like the Spirit of God said, that's what I've done with your sin. Gone, gone, gone. Your sins are gone. All because I placed my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, what joy he gave. Now look at the response of the people real quick. Verses 40 through 52. Response number one is seen in John chapter 7, verse 40. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others, look in verse 41. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Look at the third response, verse 42. Others said this, hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? Look at verse 43 and 44. Because of all this, they didn't understand, there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. No man could lay hands on him. Why? Because it was not his time. You see, Jesus came for a purpose, folks. And that was to seek and to save that which was what? Lost. And next Sunday, if you'll come back, I'm going to hit on section 2. When he meets that woman at the well. He meets an adulterous woman. He's already met the woman at the well. But he's going to meet an adulterous woman. And you're going to see what happens with that, all right? Let's pray. And we'll let you be dismissed. Father, Lord, what a lesson today from the Word of God. How that we can have rivers of joy flowing from our souls today if we know you as our Savior. And Father, I want the rivers of joy to flood out of my heart today. Lord, I want folks to know that I know you and that you know me and that we are one in you. And Lord, I'm thankful, God, today to have a Savior that looked down. And he didn't condemn me for what I was, but he saw what I could be. And Lord, you saved me. And God, I'm thankful for that today. Help me, Lord, never to be unthankful. And Lord, I pray, God, today that you'll speak to our hearts. Help us never to forget, God, what you've done for us and what you want to do with us. Father, help us, God, to present ourselves unto you a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is just our reasonable service. Father, please, would you bless our pastor now as he stands to preach? Bless those who have come to hear the message today. And Lord, if there be anyone lost, help them, God, to hear the invitation given and accept you today as their own Savior. And Father, we'll thank you, God, for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.